The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
And we welcome you to the second half of the program, and are really great to hear from all of you, and appreciate the calls as well. Man, we have had some fantastic guests, and none better than our next one. He is the two-time governor of the state of Mississippi, former Governor Phil Bryant, who has watched his state go through a fascinating period in recent days. Governor, thank you very much for making the time. I hope you're well.
Oh, Paul, glad to be with you. Thank you for having me on, and you're absolutely right. It seems to be an amazing 48 hours, if you think just 2 days ago this really began in earnest in our Mississippi legislature, although it's been a topic that's been obviously talked about for over a decade now or longer, but fairly amazing 48 hours and seeing what's taking place is you saw our universities and our head coaches help lead the effort to change that flag, and I think they were effective.
And I want to ask you about that because I talked to someone there the other day, and he said, you don't understand Mississippi politics. Things don't move that quickly. You do understand Mississippi politics. So
I do.
How did it happen?
Yeah, it was timing. The old cliche that every candidate likes to use, it's time. But it indeed was its time. As you saw the momentum begin to build, every year I was governor for the past 8 years, there's been a bill introduced to change the state flag, and I'm sure during Governor Barber's term every day. But I think the mood of the nation and thereby the mood of Mississippians, the voters are much younger. A lot of millennials are involved. But I had a friend of mine say the other day, you know, they got us in our heart. They used football. Well, they, meaning the students, Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, who came from Florida Atlantic and where their state flag in Florida has In God We Trust, which is the centerpiece, I think, that really helped move this forward as well, is using the national motto of In God We Trust on the next flag. So something that Mississippians rally around is their faith, a faith of all different types. And of course, Mississippi State, Mike Leach came there to the Capitol, both of them, along with Southern Miss coach Jay Hobson. Interesting, Paul, Jay Hobson's brother, Senator Briggs Hobson, was the state senator that presented the bill on the Mississippi Senate floor. Coincidentally, his brother is helping lead a change that Coach Hobson at USM had asked for, along with other coaches throughout the state. And even stranger than that, show you how small Mississippi can be, Dr. Briggs Hobson, the father of Jay and Senator Hobson, who recently passed away, treated James Meredith after an assassination attempt. So all of those things, I say those because it just seemed as if fate was coming together all at one time. And the Mississippi legislature, through the people that moved to take some action, including SEC commissioner, realized that it was time to finally and effectively address this issue, and they did.
And Governor Bryant, I'm really interested in your reflections on history because you know, you grew up as a young person during one of the worst periods in this nation's history, and Mississippi sadly was at the epicenter of much of that, and obviously spending so many years moving forward in political life, and obviously spending these last 8 years until recently as the governor. I'm really curious about your own personal thoughts on the historical ascent of your state.
I think there was a realization of many of us that were young during those times, particularly when we opened the Mississippi History and Civil Rights Museum. And we said, we are going to give an unvarnished truth. We're going to give the clear and succinct message that those were terrible days, the dark days of Jim Crow and segregation, which left such a scar on this state. And it is that it was a wound that is healed and left this scar that now that we have to say to the world we understand those, but times they have changed. And And that Civil Rights Museum, I think, reflects a lot of those efforts. But you look at sports in Mississippi. So you look at folks, wonderful folks like Ben Williams, General Ben Williams, who, if I'm correct, was one of the, if not the first African-American player at the University of Mississippi. My dear friend Deuce McAllister. There's no one more beloved in Mississippi at Ole Miss than Deuce, and with the New Orleans Saints. Still, if you walk on the sidelines of Deuce McAllister, which I've had an opportunity to do, there's Deuce, the roar of the crowd at Ole Miss and in the Louisiana Superdome. So, yeah, we saw those dark, terrible times, and realizing now that Mississippi, and I've said it in so many speeches, is much more about the future than the past. But you look at NASCAR. I want to say, and I believe I'm right, that there's more NASCAR tags sold in Mississippi than any other state in the nation, and we don't even have a track. But when NASCAR began to speak in the terms of how difficult it was to have those banners there and that image, and Paul, I think what happened, we saw groups that took that Confederate banner and made it, tried to make it their own, and deal real damage, I think, to it. And obviously, it was reflected in what feelings the young Mississippians have. And believe me, this young generation is very smart. The thing I'm proud of, Paul, and I ended here, but proud that you didn't see riots in Mississippi. There was no windows broken, no buildings were burned. The Mississippi legislature did this together. African Americans and whites, Democrats and Republicans, more Republicans in the House of Representatives voted for it than Democrats, simply because they have a supermajority in the numbers. But I'm very proud of the way Mississippi took this on and the way it's been managed. There will be a vote of the people, which is something I always insisted upon, is the people have to speak to this. So there will be a ratification vote, if you will, in November, ratifying the selection of a flag that must have In God We Trust emblazoned upon it, our national motto, and which we also added to our state seal in 2014 when I was governor.
Governor Phil Bryant with us. Governor, before you go, we had your successor on about a month ago, Governor Reeves, and at the time the country was really looking positive in relation to COVID, and the opening was going on, and I'm someone who's still plugged in to this country and very active. I'm really interested in where you think we are, because we all this is a sports show, obviously. We want to get to Ole Miss and State and Southern and see college football here in 8 weeks. But I'm interested in how you think we're doing right now.
Well, I think we're doing very well. I wish I knew where it was going. I think we have to admit that we must continue to take all the precautions necessary. I've got masks in my pickup truck. I've got rubber gloves. I've got hand sanitizer. You know, I'm one of those now when they talk about that over 65 crowd and they're warning us about it. Now, I got out yesterday and ran my 3 miles, but when they start talking about those over 65 votes, I go, oh, that's me now. So I think we're going to have to use every precaution that we can. But, you know, Paul, this country was not designed to be shut down. Interesting, one of the owners of an NBA team the other day was saying, oh, we're just doing a terrible job. The president hadn't been forthcoming and warning us. But, oh, by the way, we're going to have basketball games at the NBA. our professional players, well, are they going to play in masks and rubber gloves? So, look, nobody knows exactly where we're at. We need to use all the precautions absolutely that we can individually. And I think there's been an opening of this country, and we are moving forward cautiously, and we have to do that. Looks like the number of deaths are down, so people are surviving it. I think the younger people, those young folks out there now, are going to get together, and unfortunately they come home with their parents and grandparents. So I think overall we've done a very good job. The president's done an excellent job. Most governors have done a very good job, including Governor Reeves. But we're in the unknown, so we must move forward in good faith and with prayer and hoping that we'll all come stronger through this terrible storm that is COVID.
Governor Phil Bryant, what a pleasure to talk to you and to hear your views on the really important subjects of that and, of course, the flag. Thank you so much, Governor. You be well.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. The very popular governor, former governor of the state of Mississippi, as you can tell, two terms, Governor Phil Bryant joining us. And we will continue the conversation. We're bouncing quite a bit back and forth between Mississippi and the COVID situation. Another guest coming up in a little bit who lives in Clemson. We'll get his take on that. Plus your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back, and we have more guests to come. J.D. is back. We're back to the phones, and J.D. is up next. Hello, J.D.
Hey, Paul. I hope you're doing well today.
Thank you.
Got a couple of questions about the Mississippi flag and then a lot of the statements that are being made recently about anti-racism. How can you tell the difference between those folks that are sincere in their statements and their efforts, whether it be to change a flag, change the name of their musical group, to get rid of a flag at their racetrack? How can you tell the difference between those that are sincere and those that are just really doing this sort of what I call CYA, so they won't be labeled racist? Because in my opinion, unless you're on the record in the past of making these kind of statements, you really can't tell until you see what people do, you know, from this point on.
No, I think that's fair. I mean, I heard a lot of it last week in the NASCAR situation where, I saw a lot of new religion, didn't you?
I mean, you can't tell me that they just suddenly realized that the Confederate flag was a problem. And even Sankey, you know, at the SEC, you can't tell me that they all of a sudden like, oh, wait a minute, that flag, oh, yeah, that's a problem. I think everybody has always known that. And so, look, I understand it, and I think these are all good things, but I do believe that some people are just doing this because they're scared. And we'll see how sincere they are as we move on and see what they do from here.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I spent a lot of time in Alabama, and I would occasionally ask people about why things are the way they are. And he said, well, that's just the way it's always been. And I think when you're in one of those, I grew up in the South. And, you know, when I started studying history, it angered me about what had been transpiring there. I think a lot of people just want to talk now about how everything is better because you take a flag down and you have one African American driver on the NASCAR circuit. Well, that's not really the. I mean, I've researched and written years ago about what happened to the first African American driver, Wendell Scott, when he won a race and they wouldn't even acknowledge it or announce it because they didn't want the crowd to go crazy.
Yeah, and I tell you, I don't know if people have looked at the Alabama state flag lately, but it don't have any stars, but it's got the bars. So I don't know. I mean,
well, I'm sure I'm going to call Nick Saban to get him on that one.
Yeah, and then Kay Ivey will be making another statement, I'm sure. So
yeah, can't
anyway,
wait for
thanks,
that.
Paul. Have a great day, buddy.
Thank you very much. Let's check in with Jerry in Mississippi. Hello, Jerry. Jerry, you there?
Hello?
Yeah, hello? Go right ahead. You're on the air. Thank you.
You got me, Mr. Paul?
Yes, sir. How are you?
I'm good. I'm not Jerry. This is J.D.
Jerry.
But that's okay. Mr. Paul, how you get your day going?
It's going great, Jerry. I hope yours is.
Yes, sir. Hang on just a minute. All right, bring 501 to Mr. Paul, I've been listening to your show for years and years, and you know, and I always appreciate it, you know, and I want to, I've called, I talked to Archbishop Milano and with you, and you know, in 2001 I voted to keep the rebel flag on that Mississippi thing, and I wised up a long time ago, and I'm going to tell you two reasons why I did that. Back when I was a youngster coming up, Daddy would give us Saturday afternoons off. And me and my best friend was a black fella. We still friends and work together. And when we go to the store to get us a drink and a moon pie, I'd have to go in and get everything, and he'd have to meet me around back because he couldn't come in the store with me. And, you know, that really made me change my life a lot of ways to where now we all are working to be equal, and that's the way, you know, we got to be in life. And, you know, just like on the sports and living together, working together, it ain't no white heaven, no black heaven, it's one heaven. And we all got to realize that, the way I look at it. Hope I didn't say too much.
No, I think what you said is the truth, and I think we all grew up in different backgrounds and had different experiences, and that's really how we base our understanding of the times, and I really, really appreciate you sharing that. You be well, Jerry. Thanks so much. Max is up next. Hey, Max.
Hey, how are you doing, Paul?
Doing great.
I'm a Mississippi State graduate, and I lived 55 years of my life in the state of Mississippi. Recently moved to L.A., Lower Alabama. And I just want to make a – I was listening to the governor a little bit, and you can kind of tell from his call that the Egbo battle is still floating out there. He mentioned Lane, but not Coach Leach. But anyway, my call is about Kalen Hill, which I think the governor should have mentioned to him. In one tweet, he changed history in Mississippi. That's my opinion. And it's not Stephen A's opinion, because I saw you on Stephen A, and he was going, he'll never change anything.
You know, when you heard what I said that day, and I was really disappointed in what Stephen A said, because I said the exact same thing you did. But, you know, everyone has a different view, but to me, the star of this is not anyone other than Kalen Hill. I completely agree.
Absolutely. And Stephen A. and Max, they bashed Mississippi so bad, you know, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing, really. But I think, as it turns out, Stephen A. was wrong about that comment. And here we are with the one person that changed it. It's amazing to me.
There's no doubt, and I think Kalen will get the history. Everyone else was just doing it because they had to do it. I frankly thought Mike Leach was pretty late to the party, as you heard me say that day with Stephen A. and Max.
Yes, but they all had to do it. But
if Kalen Hill had not tweeted that last week, that flag would still be there.
You're right. Absolutely. 25-year war. The governor said it's been longer than a decade. It's been a 25-year war, and it ended with that tweet. It's unbelievable.
You're absolutely. Hey, thank you for the call. Let's check in next with Robert, who is on the air. Hey, Robert.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing today?
I am well. Thank you.
Good. So my question is, and it goes kind of back to the caller that you had a few minutes ago that said, how sincere is everybody? How sincere is Greg Sankey? Because if you look at the Georgia flag, the Georgia state flag is the first Confederate flag. It is. The only thing they've added is the Georgia seal in the middle of the ring of stars. But other than that, that is the Confederate state flag. The attack on Fort Sumter was that flag flying because the battle flag hadn't come around yet. So how sincere is Sankey for Georgia now?
Well, I'm not sure. I'll let him answer that. I've heard exactly what you're saying about the Georgia flag, and it's not hard to see when you look at it. I know that's a controversy the state of Georgia has already dealt with. I know the backstory, and they are satisfied, and apparently so is everyone else.
But then, how can you hold Mississippi and say, "Hey, you can't have any postseason games as long as you have the Confederate thing in your flag"? But then Georgia's flag, even the governor, and I used to have the article a few years ago, said, "Hey, we based ours on the first flag of the Confederacy." And that's all it is. It's the first flag. They took Georgia's seal in it, which coincidentally, if you look at the state flag of Georgia during the Confederacy, that's all it was a blue background with that seal. So basically they've taken the first flag of the Confederacy and Georgia's flag under the Confederacy and combined them together, and that's the state flag now. And I don't see how you can hold Mississippi accountable and not hold the state of Georgia accountable.
Well, I can't answer your question, but I appreciate your call. Thank you very, very much. Let's continue with Harold next. Harold, good afternoon.
Hi, Paul.
Always great to hear from you, Harold.
Yes, I just wanted to talk about, you were talking to Phil Bryant, the former governor of Mississippi. I kept wondering which former governor it was. I was, you know, Haley Barbour naturally came to mind, but
Haley was right before Phil.
Yeah, right. What I was wondering about, the governor's signing this, doesn't this still require a vote of the people of the state of Mississippi? Won't they still have to vote on it?
Well, I think they will, as the governor, I think you said they'll ratify it. Now, don't ask me what happens if it doesn't pass, okay?
Well, we know it didn't pass a few years ago. And I'm just wondering if...
I don't think... I think the governor was against it, if I remember my Mississippi history correctly.
But it will be interesting to see if it goes. And someone who was suggesting that she should resign or retire...
Yeah. I had a rough beginning to the show today.
Yeah, I mean, I missed that part. But your views, as the longest caller to this show... Your views on civil rights and have always been the same. You may have moderated a little bit, as have I, who was an ultra-liberal when I called your program for the first time. How many sportscasters, think about this, have sports shows and devote Martin Luther King's birthday to talking about him and his an imperfect man, as you once said? But talk about what he did from the 1950s after Rosa Parks and all that. I mean, you have such a knowledge that transcends sports when there's not a lot of sports to talk about. And has anything I said been incorrect?
No, and I'm glad you brought it up because I've been accused, especially in the NASCAR conversation, of being finding religion last Monday morning. And you know, I don't with someone like you who may be the last remaining original group of callers to the show. I don't need to explain to you, but that's okay. I have always been passionate about that issue because of the way I was brought up. And I have expressed that, and expressing that view in Birmingham, Alabama, Harold, as you well know, was not popular.
Right, but despite the unpopularity of it, despite your outspokenness earlier in your career, you survived and did quite well in Birmingham. You did quite well in Birmingham. You had opportunities to leave before 2013, but you chose to... Of course, you got married, of course, and your wife, I'm sure, played a certain role in you staying as long as you did, or I may be wrong about that, but you
I think that's accurate, by the way.
Yeah, well, yeah, I figured, but since there were other opportunities, you chose to stay and you survived. Post Herald didn't survive, but how many daily newspapers?
Because one thing I learned, and you understand this, Harold, as somebody who's been a student of this medium. I didn't preach it. I just discussed it when it was important. I don't think I've ever shared, a political view. I mean, being compassionate about the equal treatment of all of us is not really a social, is not really a political ideology. It's a common sense ideology. And I've told you the story. It angered me when I got to Birmingham. I would walk down those streets of downtown Birmingham to think of what had transpired there. Not really all that long before I arrived, it made me sick to my stomach.
Well, I think about what you share on this program about the long bus rides to Itabena, Mississippi, and Lorman, Mississippi, with Eddie Robinson. Right. Those had to be incredible learning experiences.
They were. That was my first job, and I've never forgotten those conversations, and maybe one day we'll talk about them a little bit more. I'm, by the way, I'm glad you reminded me, because I think I had forgotten them. But Harold, I try not to wear these things on my sleeve, but it was a tough conversation in the 80s in Birmingham and even sure. later. But one thing it teaches you, though, and I'll say this, and they're rushing me out, is you understand sure. the difference between someone who's sincere when they call in and talk about race and who is just someone who has found the cause because they had to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this is what makes you so different. I mean, I don't want to be critical of anybody locally or anything like that, but there are a lot of sports talk show hosts across the country that could not talk about civil rights or could not talk about political issues like you can. You've mentioned Donald Trump sometimes before the George Floyd tragedy and all that. You've mentioned him before sometimes when we weren't even discussing politics, because this is how you work. You're that intelligent.
Well, Harold, first of all, thanks for calling, as always. Harold called the very first show I ever did, which was canceled, and somehow we were able to survive that Tuesday night program. Harold, thank you so much for being here. We'll take a break.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Welcome back. Monday afternoon, and Henry is up next. Good afternoon, Henry.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I'm calling. I just wanted to say that I think what concerns me the most right now, Paul, is the fact that you have a group, Black Lives Matter, and I think they are trying to control the narrative, and they've done a great job of what I'm supposed to believe and what I'm supposed to feel and how their influence from what I deem I just don't think their intent is honest. It's not an equality intent, I don't think. I don't think it's something that's benefiting America. The narrative is that unless you believe the way that we do, then you're wrong. If they want me to tolerate their views, Paul, then I expect the same toleration of my views. And I think that corporate America is abandoning the opportunity to really call them out on who they are. I spent 10 years as a coach, high school, college, and professional and overseas coach. I was a basketball coach for 10 years. And it really didn't make a rat's hindquarters what color the player was for me. I just wanted the best player that could help me win. And so those things, Paul, I look at Black Lives Matter and I see what Mike Krzyzewski did and the statement that he made, and that bothered me.
What did he say? I didn't see that.
Paul, first of all, thank you for allowing this forum. I think the robust discussion is very good. I think he patronized Black America. And I think, Paul, that he did it because he has to recruit the players in order to win. And that if he doesn't step out there and become one of the most prominent college coaches, then somebody can use that against him. And he supports Black Lives Matter. Say it, Black Lives Matter. Hell, Paul, we all know that all lives matter, Paul.
Well, you know, by the way, Nick Saban did something too the other day,
I think, Paul, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Paul. I apologize.
No, go right
but
ahead.
This is a passionate time in America. And I think what these coaches are doing, what's the intent, Paul? I always look at someone's intent, because until you can really peel the onion and find out what that intent is, that's going to tell you where they really stand on something. Are they being forced to face this 400 years of history right now, and now they're saying, okay, we're going to do it? Because that's what it appears like in most instances when you collectively look at it, when you take emotion out of it, Paul, when you really look at the case, why didn't Saban say something 10 years ago? Why didn't Mike say something 25 years ago?
Henry, you've been there. You know why he's doing it now, and I say that objectively, not coming from an ideology. And you don't want to be the one that you can't afford it to be used against you. You know that.
Yeah, but the sad thing about it is that he's acquiesced. He's given in to this theology, if you will, from this one specific group. And Paul, I'll say this further. I think there's very little difference, Paul, in the Black Lives Matter group and their intent and the KKK. I think both of those people are on different ideological ends of the political spectrum, but I think they're one and the same. Here's another example. You take the flags away, you take the Confederate flag away, you take these statues down. Well, about 10 or 12 years ago, or 15 years ago, the Taliban didn't like some of the, and ISIS didn't like some of the protected religious shrines in Afghanistan. And they blew them up because it didn't fit the narrative. There are statues all over the South that are being forced down right now because it doesn't fit the narrative. The only thing that we're doing now is we're burning books. And a group, Paul, a group, Black Lives Matter, controls the narrative, and the media has jumped all over this. And it ain't just Southern boys, per se, Paul. When they first desegregated the schools in South Boston, there was a hell of a problem up there.
Oh, sure. It was terrible.
I was part of the first group of segregated students in the state of Georgia. I was. I lived through it. I was the only white guy on my high school basketball team, a very good basketball team. And race never came into play for me. I just wanted to compete with these guys. Coaching, the 10 years that I spent as a coach, excuse me, I provided more scholarships to black athletes than the white athletes. And why? Because those kids could help me win. So I take exception, Paul, to where the media is. I take exception to these coaches that are all of a sudden, like you've used all day long, they found religion. I got a problem with this, and I'm not going to solve it. I'm glad I'm not coaching anymore. But corporate America is doing the same thing, Paul. I work for a Fortune 100 company, and they've just been over backwards to give in and to not really call out this group for what. Listen, if I may say one more thing.
Go ahead. I have to wrap this up in a second, but go ahead and finish.
One more thing. Black Lives Matter talks about the murder of Michael Brown. That wasn't a murder. That kid reached inside that cop's car, tried to take his gun, and tried to kill the cop. That cop defended himself. I think the intent of Black Lives Matter is not proper, not wholesome. I'll end on that.
Thank you, Henry. I appreciate the thoughts and the call, and I'm sure there'll be a little disagreement, but we are heading to a break. More to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back on what has been a rather busy Monday afternoon, the week of the 4th, and we appreciate you being here. Mitch is up next in Florida. Hello, Mitch.
Hello.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I just want to say amen to that guy who just called. You know, he said, sit down, both of us at the table. You know, all of us at the table, listen to our side of it and their side.
Well,
what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are some people that will clearly agree with him. Yeah,
I appreciate you letting him talk, too.
Well, the one thing I would say, though, is I think the people, coaches have to be sensitive to their players, and players right now are very involved and very active.
Yeah,
and I think that's why you're seeing the two best coaches in the country in their respective sports, Mike Krzyzewski and Nick Saban, do what they have done.
They have to. I mean, you think they'd have to, huh?
And he mentioned public companies. I mean, public companies I don't know how representative they are of the, but I work for one, so I have a pretty good view of what happens.
Right. You know, and canceling Paw Patrol, man, that burnt me up.
Well, I saw the other day Woodrow Wilson, they took his name off the School of Public Health at Princeton, which is one of the most prestigious schools in the country. I mean,
like the guy said, when's it going to stop? I mean, I'm all
well,
for
it's probably not
change,
going to.
But it ain't, is it? I guess we'll just have to live with it or conform.
Well, I think you just conforming is one way. I think you just have to accept that it's the way of the world. But if you don't agree, and I understand the frustration. That's why I wanted to hear from our last caller. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Augie is up next. Augie, how are you?
Paul, I'm going to call you the Betsy Ross of talk radio.
Thank you.
I've not heard so much flag talk. I can't remember when. But anyway, it seems like that issue's over, right? We can move on to something else.
Right? I think it is over. Today is just a post-mortem.
Yeah, I mean, whatever they make the flag, who cares? And this whole thing about... the SEC network and the schools taking over. So today's Arkansas Day, right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't that be like a 15-minute show? I mean, you know what they were.
Augie, I'm not allowed to show fear or favor toward any one school.
I think your little chuckle just said it all. But I mean, you know what they were showing when I turned it on at 2:00, the Portland State game. Now, I'm not watching it, but correct me if I'm wrong. Didn't Portland State beat Arkansas?
Yeah. I mean, by the way, Augie, this is off the record, but show me what Arkansas football game you could play for the last couple of years.
I don't know. I think you'd have to go back to their last SEC championship. Well, they were playing the game where they beat LSU back in, 2011 or something like that. But anyway, every dog has his day. Paul, have you been keeping track of LSU in a transfer portal?
I have. Augie, I have to run here. We're up against a break, but we'll finish this thought in a minute.